I'm with Rob Beale of Morris Owen. Rob, since we last spoke, the election has taken place in America. We have a new president starting in the new year. It's Donald Trump again. And he's been quite vocal with what he's going to do. Probably the most prevalent one that might affect us, although you'll perhaps correct me if I'm wrong, is the tariffs that he said he's going to increase by 20% right across the board on all imports into America. Well, just first off, explain what that means. What is a tariff and how does that work, first off, please?
Basically, when you import something into the country, immediately there is a payment that has to be made that increases the price of that good by 20% or whatever. So immediately it tries to make imports less competitive with homegrown items or level the playing field.
So that would obviously help US products in terms of consumer items. But what about manufacturing? If they're importing components, does that mean there's a tariff on those components? There probably does it?
Quite possibly. It all comes down to exactly the details as to how they try and put it in place. The whole logic of protectionism is to encourage people to buy home-produced products as opposed to imported goods, and therefore it tends to be fairly targeted either in specific sectors or specific types of products to give that competitive edge to homegrown businesses.
Yeah. And of course, that will, I assume, upset trade deals that are already in place, I assume, will it?
Yeah, absolutely. And how much of this is actually what he's going to do and how much of this is setting out his position and posturing for negotiations, etc. You know, I think regardless of what you think about Trump, he is very well experienced in how to negotiate and haggle to get what he wants. So we have to wait and see.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And of course, it goes back into what we were talking earlier about the uncertainty and making it interesting rather than boring. And of course, they always say, don't they, which is quite profound today with me having a cold, when America sneezes, the UK and Europe catch a cold. So we are still very much dependent on the US, aren't we?
Well, I think we are, but I think also because of Brexit, if you like, we're arguing our own case. We haven't got collective bargaining power, for example, that Europe will have. Now, you could find out that actually that works for our advantage, that we can do something that others can't do. Equally, it might work against us. And that's the problem, is it's that unknown at this point in time as to how this is going to play out.
Indeed, yeah, yeah. And of course, the other big ticket item, I guess, is the war in Ukraine and his pledge that he will end it in 24 hours. I mean, obviously, whether that's just rhetoric, whether that's possible, what that means in terms of concessions to Russia, for example. I guess, though, on the world scale, not taking into consideration the poor Ukrainians, but peace is going to be a good thing if that can be achieved, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is subject to the price that has to be paid to get that peace.
Yeah.
I think the problem that you've got is there's a lot of other states that are in the sort of on the border of Russia who are watching what's going to happen because of the potential impact on their countries as well. And therefore, there could be knock on. I think Trump actually has the ability to come in with a almost saying, I'm back. I'm different to the previous US administration. And actually, let's just get this sorted out. Otherwise, it's just going to keep going on and on and on. So actually, he may be well placed to be able to negotiate something that could create peace where at the moment it's just escalating, especially with more weapons being given to Ukraine, more weapons being fired into Russia from Ukraine. You know, you can understand it, but it's not actually helping trying to solve the position.
No, it's not. I was listening to a piece just the other day and they were saying there's only two countries now that can act independently, and that is the US and China from a military perspective. Everybody else needs support, which I think is probably interesting to think that Russia are in that boat. You know, if it wasn't for Iran and North Korea helping them, plus, you know, others as well, then you know, they probably wouldn't be able to sustain what they've sustained. So it's very interesting, isn't it, that still the world is on a knife edge, isn't it?
Well, I think the problem is it's actually polarised the world perhaps more so than it's been for a good number of years in terms of we've got, if you like, the NATO bloc, and then we've got, if you like, Russian and its allies bloc. And in, I think it personally, I think it's in everyone's interest that it's de-escalated, albeit I totally understand that Ukraine has got to not just be treated as a sacrificial lamb to get that peace.
Yeah. And bringing it back home, what does that mean to the UK and to us, would you say, locally? What does all of this mean? Does it, will it affect us? Will our life go on? You know, our prices still going to go up? How would you distill it back to the locale?
Well, I guess the reality, and we've seen this when the Ukraine war first started, it had an impact on fuel prices. It's had an impact on grain prices and raw material prices like that, from that perspective. And if more countries get grabbed into this war, supporting and creating more of these problems, unfortunately, all I can see is it increasing prices in those areas, which then has a knock on to raw materials, it has a knock on to fuel prices, which will impact on local businesses.
Yeah. Rob Beale, thanks very much for your thoughts.
Thanks.